Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam. Dear listeners, Radio Sai continues its weekly presentation of the talking book version of Mr. Howard Moffat's highly acclaimed book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. The author was among the very early Westerners who came to Satya Sai Baba as a skeptic in 1964, and drawn by his enigma, he stayed for considerable periods of time near him in the next 6 years. During this period, he conducted extensive research and probing investigations into the Sai phenomena. He published his findings as the book that has become a classic of Sai literature, often considered the primer which introduced Sri Satya Sai Baba to millions round the world. This book was first published in 1971. Since then, it has been instrumental in drawing millions of seekers to the loving path of Satya Sai. These readings, dear listeners, are being aired every week, and if you wish to revisit a chapter at any time, you can do so at our website radiosai.org. So dear listeners, welcome now to Sai Baba, Man of Miracles by Howard Moffat.
Sai Ram, and welcome to Radio Sai's Talking Book Session. This is a presentation of select excerpts from Mr. Howard Moffat's book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. We are now at the second part of Chapter 12. It bears the title, More Wonder Cures. In the first part of this chapter, we heard of some well-documented and verified cases of incurable diseases that were cured by Bhagwan Baba. Let us now move along the second half of this chapter, which profiles more cases of wonder cures. Being a meticulous researcher and investigator, Mr. Howard Moffat reviewed each claim of a miraculous cure with a fine-tooth comb by verifying it from every possible angle. He now tells us of another case where Sai Baba cancelled the cancer of a patient.
In a back number of the Ashram magazine, I read a series of letters from H.N. Banerjee, who was at the time professor of physiology in the medical college at Gwalior in North India. The letters were written to Y.V. Narayanaya, a scientist living in Prashanthi Nilayam. The letters concerned Professor Banerjee's niece, Mrs. Chatterjee, a 38-year-old mother of 7 children. The professor states that early in 1965, the doctors suspected cancer in Mrs. Chatterjee's left breast. As soon as he came to know of this, he had her thoroughly examined at Gwalior and then at the All India Institute of Medical Sciences, Delhi. These examinations confirmed the original diagnosis of cancer. At the All India Institute, an eminent surgeon, Professor B. N. Rao, FRCS, London, operated on Mrs. Chatterjee. Then Professor Banerjee's first letter to Mr. Narayanaya, dated February 6, 1965, from Gwalior, he wrote, "The pathological report of the removed tissue shows a most virulent type of cancer, aplastic carcinoma. Dr. Ramalingaswamy, the renowned pathologist of the institute, has himself examined the tissue. This type of carcinoma is most fatal. She has now hardly 8 months or so of life." The letter concludes with a fervent request for the intercession and help of Satya Sai Baba. The appeal for help reached Baba's ears. He produced vibhuti and gave instructions for it to be sent to Professor Banerjee. The second letter from the professor was written on the 20th of February. He had, he said, received the packets of vibhuti and hurried to his niece's ward with them. The vibhuti was used as directed, and by the grace of His Holiness, the temperature which was tormenting her for the last 10 days, rising with severe rigor up to 106 or 107 degrees, with unbearable burning sensation and a severe sinking feeling, has disappeared today. And none of the painful symptoms has returned. What a miracle this alone is! 18 days later, on March 10th, he wrote in the third letter, "My niece is now much better. She has got over the anemia, moves about, and is taking a practically normal diet. Further, the cobalt-60 that caused so much setback is now being taken very satisfactorily. Cancer is most unpredictable according to medical science, but I am sure she will have a most flourishing life with the blessings of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba." The professor's final letter to his friend, as published in the Ashram magazine, was dated April 23rd. In this, he says, "My niece is, by the grace of Sai Baba, doing well. She was to undergo an operation, ovariotomy, as a precautionary measure. But the doctors have dropped the idea as the same is not warranted. I am very sure in my mind that my niece has been saved by the grace of Bhagwan Sai Baba. She was discharged a month ago and left for Calcutta the same day with her husband. I offer my heartfelt thanks, etc." A number of leading medical men and scientists were concerned in this case, including Mrs. Chatterjee's own brother, a district medical officer, and her husband, who is an electrical engineer. So the cure took place among a group of practical people who could not be called unreliable visionaries.
Mr. Murfitt further noted that Professor Banerjee had written in February 1965 that medical opinion gave his niece, quote, "hardly 8 months or so of life," unquote. At the time of his final letter, about 2.5 months later, she was doing well. But the author wondered what happened after that. It was possible that the recovery was only temporary and that the cancer had recurred because, as the professor said, it is a most unpredictable disease. So he decided to inquire and wrote to Mr. Narayanaya at Prasanthi Nilayam, whom he knew personally. Let's find out what happened next.
When my letter arrived, Professor H.N. Banerjee was himself at the ashram on a visit. Soon afterwards, in February 1968, I received a letter from the professor in which he confirmed the medical details of the case as published in the magazine, stating, "On a very crucial day, I got an envelope from my friend, Mr. Narayanaya, which contained the vibhuti given personally by Baba to my friend. Magic happened. Patient got around. She's doing well. She is being checked up by a specialist almost every month. 3 years have rolled by, and by the grace of Bhagwan, she is doing fine. Medically, death sentence was pronounced, and very meager hopes were given out. Miracles do happen, whether you call them so or say it is nothing but Baba's grace and mercy." The letter came from Patna, for just after the miraculous recovery of his niece, he retired from the professorship at Gwalior Medical College and took up an appointment as head of the biochemistry division at Rajendra Memorial Research Institute for Medical Sciences at Patna. I consider, be judged a first-class witness to the miraculous Sai power being conveyed across India by a few packets of vibhuti.
Other cases of equally astonishing details are chronicled in this chapter. Each one is unique, but the common thread that runs through all of them is the infinite power of the divine doctor, which defies the limitations of modern science.
P.S. Dixit of Bombay is a producer of documentary films for the Maharashtra government and a well-known singer of bhajan songs. I first heard of the remarkable healing in which he was concerned from the Maharani of Kutch and other Baba devotees. Then later, Mr. Dixit gave me the facts himself. His sister was suffering from trouble in the left breast, where there was a suspicious lump. Clinical tests at the Tata Memorial Hospital, Bombay, confirmed the presence of malignant cancer, and the doctors recommended that the breast be removed forthwith. The chief surgeon concerned agreed to operate a few days later on the following Tuesday. Then his assistants, remembering that the Tuesday was a holiday, set the operation for the Wednesday. With only a few days to spare, Mr. Dixit tried to locate the whereabouts of Sai Baba in order to get his permission and protection. Finding on inquiry that Baba was on a visit to Anandpur in Andhra Pradesh, he and his sister took a train to that city. Baba was staying at a house on the outskirts of Anandpur, and as it happened, I was there with his party on that occasion. Mr. Dixit and his sister reached the house early one morning and waited on the glassed-in veranda for Baba to finish his bath. Although no one had informed him of their coming or the reason for their visit, when Baba came out, he said to Dixit, "I know, it's cancer in your sister's left breast. The operation was to be next Tuesday, before being changed to Wednesday. Actually, it will take place on Thursday. I shall be there and everything will be all right. Don't worry." Then Swami produced some vibhuti in his usual miraculous way, gave some to the patient to eat and rubbed the rest on Mr. Dixit's left breast, massaging it well into the skin under the shirt. Finally, he gave his breast a pat and said, "Now go." They went. They arrived back in Bombay on the Tuesday morning and Mr. Dixit took his sister for admission to the hospital on the Wednesday. The operation was scheduled, as Baba had predicted, for the next day, Thursday. On Wednesday evening, while Mr. Dixit was sitting on the edge of his bed, just before retiring, a water-colored liquid began to pour copiously from his left nostril. There was no pain, just the streaming fluid. Within 2 minutes, it had wet his pajamas so thoroughly that he had to change them. Both Dixit and his wife were puzzled about this flow of liquid, which started suddenly and stopped suddenly. He had no cold in the head, and anyway, why the flow from only one nostril and in such a quantity? However, they soon forgot the episode, for their thoughts were on the next day's cancer operation. At 9 a.m. next morning, Dixit's sister was taken into the operating theater. After about half an hour, one of the doctors, a pathologist, came out and said to Dixit, "We can't find the lump that was clearly shown in the X-ray. There is only watery liquid there. No signs of the cancer. We have drained off the liquid and are freezing it for 24 hours to do a biopsy, just to make sure that all is clear." On Friday morning, Mr. Dixit returned to the hospital for the results of the biopsy. The same pathologist came to him and reported, "All clear, no trace whatsoever of any cancer. Somehow, it vanished." The doctors concerned were very puzzled at this inexplicable disappearance of a malignant cancer that had shown its undoubted presence in all the scientific tests. But Mr. Dixit was not puzzled. His heart was full of deep gratitude to the great doctor of doctors. Meanwhile, his sister's husband had arrived from Delhi in time for the scheduled operation. After what happened, he made straight for Prashanthi Nilayam, to which place Baba had returned, and waited before the prayer hall to express his heartfelt thanks. After a while, Baba appeared on the balcony just above him and immediately called down with a smile, "Nothing there, eh? Only water. Well, you can be happy that your wife is quite all right again."
Quite a rare method to cure one person through another. But as modern parapsychology is discovering, at deeper levels of mind and emotion, individuals are closely interconnected. And at the deepest level, spiritual philosophy teaches there is no real division between us. We are all one. Even so, it may be asked, why did Baba adopt this unusual procedure? As many well-seasoned devotees often remark, who can solve Baba's mysteries? We can only accept the benefits and be grateful.
I had read of great yogis sometimes taking on themselves the karmic complaints and accidents due to striking one of their followers. There are some examples of this in the Autobiography of a Yogi by Swami Yogananda, Life of Sai Baba by Narasimha Swami, and other accounts of the miracle-working saints of India. Satya Sai Baba has likewise drawn to himself and suffered physical pains on behalf of his devotees. N. Kasturi says in his book on Baba's life that once, a doctor from near Madura wrote to him saying that he had been suffering pain and bleeding in an ear, but that trouble had vanished suddenly in a miraculous manner. Kasturi said that the letter from the doctor reached him just when Baba himself was free from a slightly bleeding ear and some earache, which he had announced as having been taken over from a devotee who was suffering the agony. Kasturi further states that Satya Sai Baba has taken upon himself and suffered mumps, typhoid fever, delivery pains, and the scalding burns of his devotees. A striking example of this type of compassionate phenomenon was described to me by a number of witnesses who were present in the ashram at the time of the happening. On the evening of June 28, 1963, Baba asked Mr. Kasturi to announce at the ashram that no more interviews would be granted for the week. Neither Kasturi nor anyone else understood or could guess the reason for this. But they soon found out. On Saturday 29th of July at 6:30 a.m., Baba suddenly fell unconscious. Initially, the devotees close around him thought that he had gone into a trance, as he had often done in the past when traveling in his subtle body to bring badly needed aid to some devotee somewhere. These trances had been known to last a few hours, but this time Swami remained unconscious for much longer. His devotees became apprehensive and began to arrange for medical aid. In addition to a doctor at the ashram hospital, Dr. Prasanna Simha Rao, Assistant Director of Medical Sciences of Mysore State, was called from Bangalore. He writes, "After describing the symptoms fully, the differential diagnosis of such conditions pinned me down to that of tuberculosis meningitis, with perhaps a tuberculoma, silent for a long time. When the doctor tried to give the treatment that seemed indicated, Baba regained some awareness, it seemed, and refused the injections and other medical assistance. He stated later that the trouble would pass in 5 days' time. During those 5 days, he had 4 severe heart attacks. His left side was paralyzed, stiff, useless, insensitive. The sight of his left eye and his speech were also badly affected. On Thursday, July 4th, 5 days after the attack started, Swami became sufficiently clear and strong to announce that the clot in his brain had been dissolved and there would be no more heart attacks. However, the left side of his body was still paralyzed and his speech was thick and feeble. His followers believed that it would take several months for him to recoup his good health. During the period of his suffering, Baba had indicated to those attending him that one devotee at a distance was about to be affected by a stroke and heart attacks so severe that they would have killed him. So Baba had taken on the illness with all its symptoms of paralysis, heart seizures, high temperature, partial loss of eyesight, severe physical pains, and so on. His disciples understood and accepted this explanation. But Guru Purnima, a religious festival day, was approaching and many visitors were congregating in the ashram. The visitors were very upset and dejected at stories they were hearing of Baba's condition. Not knowing the cause or not believing it, they began to doubt. If Baba is God in human form, they said to one another, why is he also affected with physical ailments? Why does he not cure himself? On the evening of Guru Purnima Day, July 6th, came the final scene. Practically carried by several disciples, Baba came down the circular stairs from his bedroom to the crowded prayer hall below. The whole left side of his body was still paralyzed, and his speech was a feeble, scarcely intelligible mumble. A doctor present describes the scene thus. His gait was the characteristic hemiplegic one, the paralytic left leg being dragged in a semicircle, the toes scraping the floor. Seeing Baba in that condition, even the bravest wept aloud. For a few minutes, Swami sat in his chair on the dais before the assembled people, some 5,000 inside and outside the hall. Silent, sorrowful, deeply moved, they all were. Then Baba gestured for water. Some was brought in a tumbler and Raja Reddy held it up to the twisted lips. Baba drank a few drops, then dipping his right fingertips into the water, he sprinkled a few drops onto his paralyzed left hand and leg. Next, he stroked his left hand with the right and followed this by stroking his stiff left leg with both hands. The hearts of the watchers leapt at the sight with dawning hope. Mr. T. A. Ramanath Reddy, the government engineer whom I knew at Horsley Hills, was in one of the front rows and very close to Baba. He said, in a second Swami's leg, eye and all his left side became normal. It was a sight for the gods to see his sudden recovery, and the devotees present witnessed the greatest of his divine power. Mr. N. Kasturi describes it in this way. He rose and we could hear his divine voice calling us, as was ever his wont. He had begun his Guru Purnima discourse. People did not believe their eyes and ears, but when they realized that Baba was standing before them, speaking, they jumped about in joy. They danced, they shouted, they wept, Some were so overcome with ecstatic gratitude that they laughed hysterically and ran wild among the crowd rushing in. Baba was on his feet, speaking for over an hour. Then he sang a number of bhajan songs and finally climbed the stairs unaided. That night he ate his normal meal, and the following days saw him back in his usual vigorous, hearty health, carrying on a full program of activities. The deadly stroke which had come at his bidding departed within the period he foretold and left no telltale signs behind. It is on record that during his former life at Shirdi, Baba took to himself, on behalf of close devotees, many diseases and accidents, as when he thrust his arm into the fire at the Shirdi mosque where he lived. Just at the moment when a child of a devotee fell into a blacksmith's fire elsewhere, Baba bore the burns and scars on his arms for a time, but he stated that he had thereby saved the life of the child.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's session. With this, we come to the close of Chapter 12, entitled, More Wonder Cures. More when we get together again. Meanwhile, all the best, and Jai Sai Ram. You have been listening to a presentation of excerpts from Mr. Howard Murfitt's book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. This book has been published in 1971 by Frederick Miller Limited in London.